If you're wondering what delightful sounds you came into this morning, that was from the Mozart Laudate Dominus. And it's basically a chant that just says, Alleluia, sing, praise and bless the Lord. It was a Taizé chant, but it has its origins in a piece of Mozart music. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our communion service this morning. My name's Andy Paulson. I'm not the pastor here. I'm standing in for our pastor, Pete, who is currently enjoying the sun and the sea and the sand and the sleet and the wind and the rain, whatever the coast of North Wales will throw at him and the family. But we're delighted to welcome you in this morning, particularly if you're visiting. We spend about half an hour with our communion service, then we break for coffee from 10:30 to 11, and then our main service starts at 11 o'clock. So if we could just start now with a moment of still and quiet. Father, we thank you for this still, cool morning after a really hot and sticky day yesterday. We thank you that we can come here to freely praise you. And this morning, Lord Jesus, we are particularly going to focus on the mighty and wonderful victory that you won for us on the cross. And that will be our focus this morning. And so we just pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll be very much present here, just as you taught us to be present and in the moment. Millennia before anyone came up with the idea of mindfulness, you taught us, Jesus, that to be right here, right present in the moment is where you want us to be. So I pray that that's where we will be this morning, and our hearts will be open to you. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us through our worship this morning. Amen. So over the last few months, we have been going through a series where we've been looking at some of the sayings that Jesus said from the cross. We've been meditating on those and learning from those. And this morning, we focus on the last in this series. Owen helped us last time just to really grapple and grasp with the relief that Jesus must have felt as he uttered those words, "It is finished." This morning, we turn to Luke to reflect on the very last action that Jesus took on the cross, committing his spirit into the hands of the Father and breathing his very last breath. And I'll be illustrating this morning how death comes on Jesus' terms. It doesn't claim him as a victim, but how Jesus sees his death as a victor. Very short passage this morning. It's on page 1060 in the church Bibles. I'm afraid I'll have probably finished reading it by the time you get there, but if you did want to have a look at it, it's on page 1060 from Luke 23, verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he said this, he breathed his last. Now between them, the gospel writers use four different expressions, each of which puts the initiative for the process of dying firmly in Jesus' hands. He was in control. Mark says he breathed out his spirit. Matthew, that he dismissed his spirit. John's expression was, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. While Luke, as we have just heard, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Note how Jesus says to his Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Not into the grave, not into the void, not into the dark unknown, but into the hands of God the Father. By word and by deed, Jesus indicates that his death is his own voluntary act, an act of victory and not of defeat. Jesus could have escaped death right up to the last minute. As he said in Gethsemane, he could have summoned more than 12 legions of angels to rescue him. He could have come down from the cross as his mockers challenged him to do, but he didn't. Of his own free will and deliberate choice, he gives himself up to death. It is he who determines the time, the place, and the manner of his dying. Over the past few months, we have unpacked the seven sayings that Jesus spoke from the cross, and we've meditated on the following. The nature of his great and limitless love as he urges the Father to forgive those who have put him on the cross. We considered God's grace and his forgiving heart as he promises one of the criminals crucified beside Jesus a place in paradise. We reflected on his humanity as he requested that John adopts his mother and cares for her as a son. We reflected on how Jesus was fully alone, truly forsaken as he bore the full weight of our sin. How Jesus drank from the cup of agony to spare us from having to do so. How he uttered, "It is finished," completing his final act of obedience. And this morning, how Jesus offers up his life as the perfect sacrifice, placing himself in the hands of the Father, and with it, achieving a great and lasting victory. The last two sayings from the cross proclaim Jesus as the conqueror of sin and death. When we humbly come to the cross, deserving nothing but judgment, pleading nothing but mercy, Christ delivers us from both the guilt of sin and the fear of death. Jesus was not claimed as a victim by death. He seized it as a victor, as death's conqueror. And through our faith in his death, for our forgiveness, then we can share with him in the spoils of our victory. Even at the point of his own death, Jesus is teaching us how we should be approaching ours, secure in the knowledge that God our Father reigns supreme. When we come to die, we should remember that God reigns. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Who saw to it that the sun's light failed? Who ripped the temple's curtain from top to bottom? Over and around the death of Jesus Christ is the ruling hand of God. There are no loose ends. As Luke says in Acts 4:2, indeed Herod and Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. It is true that when Jesus was arrested by the mob in Gethsemane, he said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." But what a sovereign statement that is. The power of darkness would not be given any more than an hour by the Almighty God. God reigns in life and in death. In Isaiah 53:10, it reads, "It was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." When we come to the hour of our death, we should remember that God reigns and nothing has slipped through his fingers. He awaits us with open arms, his hands extended to his children. Remember, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Not into the grave, not into the void, not into the dark unknown, but into the hands of God. One of the great temptations at the hour of our death is to believe that death is somehow some sort of terrible blow from God, and therefore we're under his wrath and cannot commit our spirit into his care. But let us learn here from Jesus. His death was a horrible blow from God. He was forsaken by the Father, so we wouldn't have to be. He became a curse for us. But Jesus did not abandon his faith in God's love for him, nor his trust in his Father who had reinstated him into his rightful place at the Father's right side. We have no such divinely appointed rightful place, but we do have a promise that in the Father's house there are many rooms, and that the way to the Father is through the Son. It is because Jesus claimed the victory on the cross that we can picture the Father greeting us like the prodigal sons we are, arms out, his hands wide open, ready to welcome us home. When we come to die, we should remember that we have a spirit that will live on. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Jesus knew, and we should know, that death for God's people is not the end, nor even a sleep for our conscious personalities. Paul put it like this in 2 Corinthians 5, "We are of good courage and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." And Philippians 1:23, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." We will die like Jesus if we remember, like him, we have a spirit which at the moment of death does not die but lives on with God the Father. One way Jesus' victory on the cross is shown is in how we also approach death. It's because Jesus claimed death as the victor that we, if we believe that his death was secured, our forgiveness, then we can share in this victory And we too can say with confidence to the Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I couldn't think of a better way to end this short section of our service than by singing together in Christ alone. I remember singing it through teary eyes at my father's funeral, at my brother's funeral, and no doubt it will be sung at my own. It's such a powerful meditation on the strength and power of God in Christ's death and what his resurrection means to us, both today in our lives and also eternally. Consider some of these lyrics. In Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here, in the power of Christ, I'll stand. So let's do just that. Let's and sing together in the power of Christ, in Christ alone.